The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect that of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And good morning, everyone. How are you? Absolutely gorgeous day in paradise this morning. My name is Neville James, and you're in tune to Analyze This. And, you know, engineer is back, man. I got two of them, and one of them were dealing with something, and glad to have him back in the house, man. Good to see you, okay? This is on WTJX FM, 93.1 FM, your National Public Radio Station here in the United States Virgin Islands, affectionately known as NPR. Okay? R as in Rakim. You know what it is. All right, so got a great show today. Rocky Laybud, you know, he was part of our powerful panel 14 days ago when we were analyzing the election results on Decision 2020 broadcast on WTJX, The Dozen, the TV station. He's coming in. He's going to be online second hour. And I'm trying to get my good friend Ronnie Russell to. Ronnie, need you and Rocky to knock things out for us in hour number two, okay? In hour number one, we're supposed to be having a young man who he's going to be calling at 1820. Kemet Ammon Lewis, he's been dealing with a serious challenge. And I think you're going to appreciate, you know, hearing that story and recognizing what he's been going through. Okay? Because a lot of us been dealing with things here in 2020. And you know, one thing we do here on the station is we try to involve everybody in every aspect of life factually, not speculatively, but factually. Our Thursday will kick off its season on November 19th as an all-day event from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Galleries and Jewelers are welcoming the return of the third Thursday of the month venue, which has been a pillar in downtown Christiansted for almost 25 years. I think Emanuela Perez modeling some Cruz Angul stuff as well. Okay, that's a Board of Education member, Emanuela Perez. Leading vote getter on St. Croix, Emanuela Perez. Wang Papo, Emanuela Perez. Okay, so if you go, you know, do your thing, socially distanced and all that, working your way to Christiansted, go down there, okay? Sanya Limited, all them different, as we say in street lingo, all those joints down in town, you know what I'm saying? That's all good. Top Hat, you know, they're going to be dealing with that. So, you know, we're not in the commercial business, so we just calling out the names of businesses who are participating in our Thursday, okay? And that's what we had, Mitchell Lawson Studio. I think we had on the Mitchell Lawson people, I believe, I'm not sure. I know we had on the Henley people as well. Okay? So, support Christiansted. Okay? It's a city, one of the twin cities on the greatest island on earth, next to two other great islands, St. Thomas and St. John, and that island being St. Croix. Okay. Let's do the formal thing as relates to COVID. Okay, the big number as relates to negative, positive, territory-wide for yesterday, 232 to 6. So that positivity rate should be about 98%, I believe. You know, I mean, the negativity rate should be about 98%. So what we're going to do is we're going to divide 232 into 238, 97.47. So that's 97.5. We can live with that. better than the day before. As a matter of fact, our designation in the New York Times, we gone from low but getting higher. So we got to keep an eye on that one. Okay, yesterday's island numbers, St. Thomas, 171 to 3. And St. Croix, 61 to 3. So St. Croix was 20 to 1. Technically 20, but 20.333 to 1. St. Thomas, take a bow again, St. Thomas. You're doing good, St. Thomas. Okay? 57 to 1. Bam. So, Dr. Hunt Caesar, I know you're smiling now, probably driving, dropping that little kid to school this morning, and you're in the car listening, because I know you like to listen. And like you guys say in St. Thomas, you're in the car, right? And the Yankee them to say, you're in the car, right? But on St. Croix, you're in your car. And Mr. Engineer, all the different way we say things, they in the car. K-Y-A-A-R, the car, okay? And drive safely, okay? Big number really is 27,017, of which 17 are pending. So of the 26,940 confirmed cases, we have 1,469 positives, 25,471 negativos. Of the 1,469, the positive number, 1,388 have recovered. We have 58 active. That's a high number for the territory. I tried to work that one down. And we've had 23 deaths. On the mainland, 11.7 million or thereabouts positive cases. 253,000 or thereabouts fatalities. Not good. Okay. Wall Street, down day yesterday, down 344.93. 27 of the 30 blue chip stocks saw losses yesterday. The Dow was down 1.16%. And it's really about the buffoonery and the clownery of the current administration, where lawyers are now lawyers that they were hired to defend many of their frivolous charges are withdrawing. Rudy Giuliani had to represent the Trump administration, or chose to do so, at a case in Harrisburg. And one attorney general said it was sad to see him, you know, trying to defend himself. Here he is. He hasn't been before the court in this capacity in almost over 30 years thereabouts. And the term that he used, he said it was sad to see America's mayor, you know, just totally lost. And then one of the things that a lot of the lawyers for the Trump administration, they're not, this is what we're reading, right? They're not putting their careers on the line because the complaints are not based on fraud. You know, they're trying to find all kind of ticky-tack stuff to justify being before the court, and it's not working. So, you know, this is sad, you know, and we got another 60 days or thereabouts. Today's the 18th or 19th. The transfer is supposed to be on January 20th. So we got 11 more days in November, 31 days in December. That's 42. And another 62 days away. And, so that means the transfer is going to be on a Wednesday, because yesterday would have been 63, so that'll be exactly 9 weeks from yesterday. And the inauguration, that is, and you know, we're struggling as a country. So, you know, hopefully the, you know, I'd be on Twitter. I get my little Twitter fights with the Trump people, just asking them to use their logic. And it's not happening. They don't want to hear that. One guy said, wait till it goes to the Supreme Court. Goes to the Supreme Court for what? Can't go before the court if you don't have evidence. I don't care what level you're at. And right now, they're lacking evidence. So they need to take this L like grown-ups, because they took the W 4 years ago. You know, and this is sad. You know, so because the country, you know, the country had to come first, man. The country's struggling. So, you know, hopefully, you know, they'll stop being so pathetic as it relates to the results. You know, they saw this coming. That's why they were complaining. It's one thing for your opponent to beat you. It's the next thing for your opponent to tell you how they're going to beat you and then turn around and beat you. You know, and that's what's bothering them. You know, they thought that they could undermine the opponent's strategy. It didn't work. You know? Democrats turned out in numbers before it's all said and done. Biden, matter of fact, Biden crossed 79 million yesterday. He's going to be close to 80 million when it's all said and done. Maybe more because they got California and they're still counting in New York. You know, so historic. People turned out. Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, Jacob Blake. People turned out. And of those four incidents, of which we had three fatalities and possibly a paralysis, Ahmaud Arbery, Georgia, flipped for the first time in a long time. Minnesota was close in 16, was not close in 20. Wisconsin, 22,000 vote win for Trump in 2016, 20,000 vote win for Biden in 2020. That's a 42,000 vote swing. And then, you know, in Kentucky, which is pretty red, very red, you know, Mitch McConnell held on. He won solidly. That's a red state, though. By the way, for those of you who don't know, you know, when I was elected official, I made some friends over the years. One of my good friends is the majority leader for the state of Kentucky, Damon Thayer. And he was up for election again. He's a Republican. And he was successful. He was selected to be the majority leader again for the Kentucky State Senate. That's going to convene in January. So, you know, I got friends on the other side of the aisle as well. And in the middle, where I'm headed. You know, so we all got to live. Don't care how you slice it. You know, we all got to live. So, that's the monologue. Looking forward to speaking with Kemet Amon Lewis. He can explain to us what he went through with the physical challenges and what have you. I think he's a quadriplegic. And looking forward to that discussion. And don't forget, let's support Art Thursday down in Christiansted. I know COVID-19, you know, is forcing the merchants to find a new creative way of offering the community an art experience in a safe and fun environment, a full day appreciation of the arts. Each gallery will feature special items in preparation for the first Art Thursday of the 2020-2021 season. The offerings of beverages and finger foods available in the past will not be offered this year as a safety precaution with COVID-19 in mind. Okay? But however you can support it while respecting the protocols and restrictions, please do so. We take our first break now. Get the engineer back in the swing so he could drop that bed, that's what I'll call it, that theme music. Y'all kind of new lingo now to call it a bed. And from there, that's who we at. So I got a text message here. Who it is reaching out to me, so all in the morning. Oh. We must remember that the left wing and the right wing belong to the same bird. Ah, oh, man. Willa John, you a philosopher now? Sounding good. I like that. We must remember that the left wing and the right wing belong to the same bird. I like that. Because it's true. We'll be back right after this.
probably okay to have one more drink before I drive home. I'm probably okay. I open the window to stay alert.
Probably okay. I just popped some gum in my mouth.
Step out of the car, please.
I probably made a mistake.
Probably okay isn't okay when it comes to drinking and driving. If you see a warning sign, stop and call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
At Banco St. Croix, we offer a suite of consumer and business services with mobile banking, mobile deposit, and online banking. You can bank with us from anywhere 24/7. Banco St. Croix has two locations, one in Gallows Bay, 340-773-8500, and one in Peter's Rest, 340-713-8500. Banco St. Croix, bankofstcroix.com.
The Department of Labor is happy to announce the IVR system, the interactive voice response system, is for unemployment insurance claimants to receive information regarding their benefits and other general updates. So stay tuned for more on the IVR system and look out for notices so that you can try today. Once you receive your notice, you can try the hotline at 340-715-5744. That's the interactive voice response system for unemployment insurance updates.
And we are back. Got a little delayed here. Let's see if we can fix that up for me there. We've had a good week. And we started off with Ronnie Russell and the Women's Coalition on Monday. And then Tuesday we had Attorney Russell Pate and Supervisor of Election Carolyn Fox speaking about the certified results for the election. Yesterday, another great show. We had three great shows to this point. Ken Mills from the Gift Hill School in St. John and Majority Leader Marvin Blyden. I'm talking about the experience of campaigning under the COVID cloak, for the lack of a better term, the lack of retail politicking and respecting people and not being able to do things as a result. So, the Women's Coalition discussion for Monday was about something that they're doing tomorrow. They're having a discussion as it relates to racism here in the Virgin Islands, or I affectionately refer to us as Little Babylon. And I'm glad that, you know, we've decided that, you know, we're not afraid to, you know, have this discussion, because of course, you know, race was real big issue here in 2020. The George Floyd murder on Memorial Day kind of broke the dam, so to speak. And we saw the global protests, and it impacted the election. Some 5 months later, on November the 3rd, and, you know, we can't just, now that we've had the election, stop processing everything that's happened, you know, because we need to get to that, you know, that gross global respect and happiness. You know, you've heard me use the term here, and we don't really have gross domestic product per se here in the Virgin Islands, because, you know, we're consumer driven, and the terminology that was given to us, you know, when I was a young senator some 15, 16 years ago, was our gross territorial happiness, which is a combination of all those variables, you know, economics, social life, infrastructure, and cost of living and stuff like that. But if you don't feel comfortable, if you feel that your presence is threatened just because of a melanin differential, then something is fundamentally wrong. So it's good to have this discussion. I was looking for the Women's Coalition promo because we tend to have, I like the whole, if you come in the studio, because I don't own no studio, you'll see all the documentation because I like to reference things. Ms. Zimmet, if you have that, if you have that press release for the Women's Coalition discussion tomorrow, I'd appreciate it so we could, you know, so I could reach for it. There we go. Is it? Okay, thank you, Ms. Zimmet. Yeah, tomorrow is an anti-racism forum to be held on St. Croix. And the DEF tomorrow, this is the first of four sessions. And tomorrow they're going to focus on definitions. Racism versus bias versus prejudice versus discrimination. Okay? And go to their website, wcstx.org, and the viconsortium.com, and on their social channels to find out how you could sign up. I think there's a limitation of 150 people, and pre-registration is required. Okay? I think when you go there, you'll find out the time and all that, because I don't see the time attached here. If our producer could go on the website and see exactly what time we're talking about. And the forum will be moderated by Allison Reeves. Okay? Each session will include a roundtable of contributors, community members with expertise or knowledge related to the topics to be examined. And I saw Ms. Harris Moorhead during the week. I thought yesterday or the day before. And Christianstead, so hopefully all is well. So we want some success there as well. Now, Professor Luciano, thank you very much for calling in yesterday. And I'm glad that this medium had the ability to serve as a conduit so you could speak to Headmaster Ken Mills at the Gifhill School in St. John, and hopefully some chemistry is developed there, and we could you know, get the importance of data understood even more in the public. I know when you heard the headmaster speaking about the importance of data and how when he wakes up every morning, he reads the, he goes to the Weather Channel, the Daily News, and our local COVID numbers. So he has a pretty good foundational base to start the day. And that was a nice conversation yesterday. Now, I haven't heard from my guy Julius Jackson over there in St. Thomas. I think it's my brother's bakery. I haven't heard from Santa Graham neither. He texted me in a while. So I haven't heard from Julius in a while. I want to Julius to reach out to me, and I hear from Julius. I hope everything is okay, Julius, and let me know what's going on. And the trucker, right? The one who listens to the show and he calls in and gives me a text message. Give me a holler. You could call the station so we could let the public know how things going on with the trucking business over there, right? Not promoting the business, just the life, okay? Because we ain't in the business. We ain't at a commercial joint here, okay? We're into telling people about factual stuff and how life is. So if you go call in, Mr. Trucker, because I told you that's how I'm going to put your name in my cell phone, 340-718-4555 or 340-718-0761 to let me know what's going on over there. And I want to let the public know that we're looking at a date next week to get some more senators on as we look forward to the 34th legislature. You know, we definitely got Ronnie. Ronnie, just let me know. We're going to be good for hour number two. So he and Rocky You know, we got the president's discussion, president's table. That little thing, you know, Rocky two times over, and then Ronnie 29 and I'm 31. Rocky was 21 and 24. Yeah, 21, 24, 29, and 31. And so we were looking at the makeup of the body heading towards January and the territorial mandate to deal with that. But like I said, we really try here. Oh, and I'm going to get to this in a little bit. Don't forget the radio pledge on December 1st and 2nd. The 2020 radio pledge. For WTJX Radio. You know, what we try to do here is we're really, you know, trying to get everything that's going on in the community that's impacting us, right? And processing it based on the tangible impact for the community, not the conjecture and the speculative impact. You know, we want to know how it really, you know, touching somebody, how it's really touching somebody, whatever is happening, how it's touching somebody. And in order to do that, there's a requirement for information. And, you know, we're trying our best. And the reason why it's important that we do that now is because it allows for us to be better prepared for what, you know, is in some instances the inevitable. For example, you've heard me talking about our financial situation as a territory, specifically for all of 2019, and we go with fiscal years that start October 1 and it ends on September 30th from a government standpoint. But the calendar activity actually impacts how you collect money for the fiscal year, right? And everybody knows that 2020 was rough, and it still is. And the revenue impact for collections in 2021, you know, right now are, you know, not attractive, unattractive. Notwithstanding the fact that, you know, we did real good in that gross receipts area, which really talks about spending in a territory. You know, I don't know if we're going to be able to maintain that, you know, for fiscal year 2021. So, the reasons why we have the kind of discussions that we have here is because we really want the public, you know, to brace themselves, whether it be for the good, bad, or the indifferent. Right now, we'll take indifferent, pray for good, and hope that bad doesn't happen. But I think the prognostication for 2021 as it relates to government revenues collected is very much up in the air, if not to bad, you know? So we got to figure that out. And during the candidate speak window, when we had candidates who are seeking public office on this particular show, you know, one of the discussions we had was with the Senate Finance Chairman, Senator Kurt Viollet, and clearly he was, you know, the dominant vote getter here in the territory, and that's in Korea where he, you know, won in resounding style. And one of the things we agreed upon, you know, because we only had 40 minutes, or we only allotted 40 minutes for all of the candidates. You know, he was just a fountain of information when he was on. So we agreed that, you know, once the election was over, we'd get him on, you know, for the full 2 hours, so we could, you know, crunch the numbers, like they say. And we're looking forward to that happening. We're gonna work on that, so we could, you know, get a better feel for how we're going to deal with the realities of life here in the Virgin Islands. one more thing. One thing we also do is here, is because we're in this hurricane plane, we tried to get a feel for the weather. There's supposed to be a weather system coming in over the weekend. I heard that on the news. So we're keeping an eye on that. And what we're going to do is we're going to call the National Weather Service in San Juan towards the latter part of hour number one after we're done with the conversation with Mr. Lewis. And then so we could get a feel for what to expect. Because you know what they say about preparation, right? You know, once you're prepared to deal with something, then, you know, you're better off, because in the fall, that'll kill you. It's the sudden stop. I believe we have Mr. Lewis Kemet on the line. Good morning, sir. How are you feeling?
I am great.
Good. Introduce yourself to the people of the Virgin Islands here on 93.1 FM.
All right. Good morning, everybody at home. My name is Kemet Amon Lewis. You probably know me more for my work as a marine scientist, but I always have a camera with me wherever I go, and yeah, that's me.
Now, you dealing with a medical issue, right?
Correct.
As comfortable as you can be, divulged to the public. I know you on the front page of the paper, right?
Yeah, on the Daily News.
That was yesterday or the day before?
Early this week.
Earlier this week.
Oh, maybe it was last week, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Last weekend.
Yeah. For those who didn't have access to the Daily News, enlighten us, if you will.
Yeah, I miraculously survived sepsis. We don't know what the original source of the bacterial infection was. It was likely from one of many dive sites that I've done.
How do you spell it?
Sepsis, S-E-P-S-I-S. So I went into septic shock, and pretty much what that means is that the infection from whatever the original site was, so if it was a cut on my leg, because it was unknown and untreated, it moved into my bloodstream and started to affect all of my organs. Wow. So by the time I got to Wang F. Louis Hospital, and special thanks to my good friend Charisma, who was with me the whole time, when I said I wasn't feeling well and I was going to go to the acute medical care, my vitals were just crashing. So they, from Pleasant, they got me in an ambulance and took me over to Wang F. Louis, and they tried to see what they could do there. And although some may have thought that there was nothing else to do, or that there was, it was time for my friends to say their goodbyes, Dr. Khan and Nurse Kinara really stepped up, and they found, they never gave up on getting me airlifted out of St. Croix to a medical facility that could help me. In the process, however, the medicine that they used vasopressors to keep my organs oxygenated, and so in doing that, keep them alive. But the side effect was that it stripped oxygen from my limbs to do that.
Okay.
And so I woke up after 2 weeks in a coma at Broward General in Fort Lauderdale and learned that my right hand, right foot, left fingers and left toes would have to be amputated. And
wow.
That's where I'm at today.
Wow, that's unfortunate. But you have life.
I have life.
And we're grateful to have you on here. And, we wish you were, completely whole. But, we'll deal with it. What we're going to do is we're going to take a break right about now, because we do a break at the 20 and the 40. When we come back, right, I'm gonna go through the definition for those who are listening, so they have an understanding of what we're dealing with, and then you could tell us about the symptoms and recovery and all that, okay?
Okay.
And the process with the prosthesis and all that stuff, because that's where you are now, right? You have some prosthesis involved?
That's where I'm at now, yeah.
Okay, good. Kemet Amon Lewis is on the line. We'll be back right after this.
The U.S. Virgin Islands Police Department's police officers and civilian support staff provide services to the general public 24/7. This department has the responsibility to provide professional service to you at all times. The VIPD is working harder to meet that goal. Please get into the habit of using the compliment forms to commend officers who provide a quality standard of service. It's a morale booster for the recipient. If an officer or civilian needs to improve their customer service, feel free to submit a complaint form. Compliment and complaint forms are available in the lobby of all police stations, at public libraries, some government businesses, and from any patrol officer. Desk officers can also assist you to complete this form. Secure drop boxes are at all police station lobbies. Just insert your form and internal affairs agents will process your complaint impartially and fairly. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Virgin Islands Police Department.
Join the Virgin Islands Housing Finance Authority on November 12th and November 19th at 6 p.m. via Zoom to discuss the newly released Mitigation Action Plan. The authority was appropriated $774 million from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development for disaster mitigation through a community development block grant referred to as CDBG-MIT. MIT-funded activities will lessen the impact of disasters by increasing resiliency to current and future hazards. However, before funds can be drawn down from HUD, the territory must submit a detailed plan of action based on input gathered from residents. The plan proposes the use of funds for mitigation activities that will address infrastructure and public facilities, economic resilience and revitalization, housing, public services, and planning. The public comment period for the MIT Action Plan is open until December 22nd. For more information on MIT and to read the action plan, visit cdbgdr.vihfa.gov.
And we're back on the air, and we got Mr. Kemet Aman Lewis, who unfortunately had an experience with sepsis. And by definition, sepsis is the body's extreme response to an infection. And this is from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC. It is a life-threatening medical emergency. Sepsis happens when an infection you already have in your skin, lungs, urinary tract, or somewhere else triggers a chain reaction throughout your body. Without timely treatment, sepsis can rapidly lead to tissue damage or organ failure and death. Sepsis is a complication of an infection that can be contagious, but sepsis itself is not contagious. Most sepsis is caused by bacterial infections, but it can be a complication of other infections, including viral infections such as COVID-19 or influenza. So we got Mr. Lewis on the line again. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good. No, the Aman is part of your last name, or that's your middle name?
Aman is part of my first name.
I have part of your first name. Okay, Kemet Aman. Okay, good. No, this charisma for Beverly? Which charisma is this?
For Sharon.
For who?
For Sharon Tatine.
Sharon Tatine. Okay. Yes. Prestand them and thing of Dengalos Bay, Paul Wolf. The man himself.
My She's a lot older than me, but that's my older sister.
Yeah.
My second mom.
Yeah, I understand that.
One of many second moms.
Yes. Well, if you live in the islands, everybody has surrogate, a second, third, fourth, a mom. So we're glad that she was there for you, right?
No, for sure.
From the day that you went to Pleasant to when you were fully re-entered into society with the prosthesis and all that. How long was that window?
So I ended up at, went into Pleasant on the 26th of July, my mom's birthday, ironically, after celebrating my dad's birthday on the 25th.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the first prosthetic limb in January of 2021.
Of 2020,
I got discharged. Yeah, 2021. So yeah. I went in July, end of July. I got discharged from the hospital the end of September 2019.
Yeah.
I'm jumping ahead, but
that's a good thing. We like you that you looking forward to being here in 2021, given what you went through. We ain't got a problem with that,
right? And I'm not gonna say anything about 2021 because you know, from about 2016, we've been, you know, then 2017 came and we were waiting for 2018. And then it's just, you know, here we are in 2020, which is, has been, I can't imagine anything worse than this, but I won't jinx us for next year.
Why jinx? Jinx me.
You know, I got the first prosthetic limb in January. I started rehab in February. I've been without the wheelchair since February. I got my second prosthetic limb in May. And this is just a leg for walking.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to get a prosthetic hook for the right side since I lost a hand on that side, which is my electric. And so it opens and closes on my command. Like I use my existing muscle structure to activate the limb. And that's been a great help. I've been back on my own since May, living on my own. I cook for myself. I pretty much do everything that I need to do for myself since then. And just looking ahead, like you said, looking for job opportunities in my field.
Which is?
In marine science.
Marine science, okay. Yeah, you did say that earlier.
And so, yeah. I'm trying to figure that out.
So research.
Excited about the art show that's, you know, launched literally today.
Mm-hmm.
Finding ways to stay connected with the dance community. I'm doing a workshop this week with Paloma McGregor, who's from Sincora originally. And yeah, just, you know, looking ahead as if
business.
You know, the events of last summer will not restrict or determine or limit my possibilities.
Well, I support you 100% in that regard.
Appreciate it.
Okay, we go to that. And it's my understanding that you're a part of WTJX family.
Yep.
I'm a regular contributor to Polytalks on Tuesday night at 6:30 p.m. And so, you know, we're just glad that we, you know, could have this conversation. And I'm sad that you are the example, but, you know, in the process, we get to educate the public, right? So right. At any time we could educate the public, that's a benefit to the society. So we're good in that regard. Sure. I wish it wasn't you, though. I wish it wasn't anybody. But
yeah.
You know, we'll make the best of a bad situation. Now,
right.
COVID-19, right? When you saw the global impact, in particular the hemispherical impact here in the Western world, of course, you know, America, we have 5% of the world's population and 20-25% of the infections and deaths and all that. So that's a disproportionate number there. What was it like knowing that what you went through, people are suffering from it because of COVID-19?
Right. I you know, it's unfortunate, and it definitely.
Is it emotional for you talking about it? Because we could go to something else.
It definitely personally impacted me this summer. You know, there are many opportunities where I actually wanted to be, to come home to St. Croix. And, you know, COVID really dictated that wasn't going to happen when I wanted it to happen. It's sad that the U.S. in general still haven't really started to address the issue as they should. It's absurd that something as simple as a face mask, you know, which, you know, so many countries and people from so many countries used to wear routinely when they travel, especially, is such an issue of contention here in the U.S., where we're supposed to be such an advanced society. And it's unfortunate that, you know, our leaders and, you know, I on Polytalks, I always reference that there is a difference between leaders and politicians. And so as a community, we need to be careful about who we trust and who we put our trust into.
But they're not necessarily mutually exclusive.
Right.
There are those who possess both skills. Then there are those who don't have.
Especially now with as much corruption and you know, the created benefits of being a politician. It's rare that you find a politician and a leader in the same person. And that's not just in the U.S. It's very clear in the Virgin Islands. One of the things we talk about on Politalk all the time is the ineptness of, or I talk about all the time, is the ineptness of so many things in the VA, and that, you know, there's so much that you have to put your blinders on or ignore to find some sense of happiness when you're there. Because if you start to think about the list of services that are supposed to be provided by the government that aren't, you could get depressed and give up very easily. And so, you know, by one of the things I did while I was there was just focused on the good, the things that we were doing underwater and for the community around sustainable seafood. And, you know, it was just that focusing on the parts that you can personally make a difference on, but being very aware and conscious of everything else that's going on around you. So for me, like, one of the important things was to not work for the government and to not have my money in the black hole that is GERS. But I know that everybody else can't do that. And it's unfortunate that, you know, there are areas where solutions should be found. And, you know, our plea on Politalks is for people to stay not the woke that the term that's been thrown around and being used loosely, but just be awakened and informed. And in that manner, you can then hold people accountable for the decisions that affect your daily life and the lives of your children. And so that's a long rant about how I felt about everything going on with COVID. But I think that there's, you know, I have friends in a number of different countries in Europe and whatnot. And when they shut down, they shut down. People wore their masks. No one was. No one found issues with doing things that they could do to protect themselves and the people that they love. There's that.
How do we, now you're part of the art exhibit this afternoon, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Explain how you're participating in that, and if there's any other way, if in fact, you know, there are people out there who want to support, your recovery. How do we go about doing that?
Cool. Yeah. So I was invited by Lisa Coates at Cafe Christine to display an art show, and I immediately jumped on the opportunity. My parents named me Kemet Amon. It's a hyphenated first name. Kemet is the original name of Egypt, and it means black. Amon was at one point in time the god over all of the gods, or the most supreme deity of over Egypt. And so for as far back as I can remember, I wanted to go to Egypt. And I made that happen in December of 2018. I planned a solo trip, and I traveled from Giza and Cairo to Luxor to visited the Karnak Temple. I was able to do a hot air balloon ride over the Valley of the Kings. I went to Aswan, to Abu Simbel, and to Sharm el-Sheikh to get some diving in. And so I said, you know, I can put together this show. So we have 12 prints that are printed on 24x36 metal pieces. And they're up at Cafe Christine. They were hung last night, and I love how they look on the walls. But we also have an online auction for those pieces, those 12 pieces. And the link to the site is 32auctions.com/KMT. And so if you're not on St. Croix and you can't visit Cafe Christine, I understand that Art Thursday is going to be a little bit different this year. So it's going to be open for a longer period of time. I think it's from 10 to 8. The gallery should be displaying the art.
Yeah, so, we read that press release today. Yeah. 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Galleries and jewelers are welcoming the return of the third Thursday of the month venue, which has been a pillar in downtown Christiansted for almost 25 years, Art Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's, you know, if you can't be there physically to see the prints, you can see them online, and you can bid on them online, whether you're on St. Croix or anywhere else. So you just go to that site, 32auctions.com/KMT, and you'll find all the prints, all 12 prints are on there. And you can learn more about the auction itself. And there's also a link to one of the videos that CBS here in Miami shot on my story. And so, you know, that's available to be seen on the link also.
Okay, that's good. That's good. I'm glad that our Thursday is serving as a venue to allow for hopefully what is a successful.
Yeah, and if I may, the show is
the auction actually started last night though.
At midnight.
At midnight, yeah.
Yeah, whether you consider it last night or this morning, that you know, chicken before the egg. But the auction is being hosted by Friends of Cal. Have this amazing group of women, Christiana, Jendai, Nadia, and Charisma, who before I even knew that I needed help, began working to support me. And we stay in touch almost every day. And, you know, as much as they have rallied behind me, even when I was in a coma and didn't know that I needed help, they are still with me today. And, you know, the show is being brought to the public because of them and all of the efforts that they've and all the love that they share with me. And, you know, in saying that, I also have to say special thanks to everyone on St. Croix and St. Thomas, St. John, and the rest of the world that sent love and prayers and positive thoughts my way last summer and continue to do so, because, you know, the positive vibes definitely came, the prayers were definitely answered, and I'm here today to do another show because of all of that. So just want to say thank you, and I love you to everybody out there.
Well, awesome. Well, we're glad that we had the ability to talk with you a little bit about this. Hopefully the online auction is successful, and we wish you well. And I don't think this is the last time we're going to be talking to you here on Analyze Great. This here on WTJX Radio. Okay?
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks for the invite.
No. Thank you for making yourself available. Mr. Egypt, right? Mr. Egypt, God of Gods. Right. Well, you said Aman is the God, right? The God of them, right? So I like that comment. Aman Lewis joining us here today. Went through a bout with sepsis and is now in recovery mode, and hopefully we could take the CC down to 161st Street and cross over and take the express, the D train, and move this thing quicker. Okay? We appreciate that. Thank you very much, Mr. Lewis. Okay?
Yep.
You got it. Good luck today, and good luck to all of the vendors with Art Thursday kicking off its 2020-2021 season today in downtown Christiansted. That, you know, takes our first hour out on a high note. We wish Mr. Kemet Aman Lewis all the success in the world. Looking for hour number two. We got R double. R.B. and Rocky and Ronnie, right? R double. And hour number two, we're going to talk about the prospects of the 34th legislature and the political life and all that. Been waiting to hear from the boys. It's been a couple of weeks since I had them on together, so looking forward to that. We'll be back right after this.
Do you want want to work part-time, doing your part in keeping the Virgin Islands safe? Join the Virgin Islands Police Department and become a police auxiliary officer. The starting salary for a VIPD police auxiliary officer is $30,715 per year for a 30-hour work week. For more information and to apply, visit jointhevipd.com. This message is brought to you by the Virgin Islands Police Department.
I'm Noelle King. This moment is presenting so many challenges, including financial ones. If you're one of the listeners who recently donated to keep this NPR station strong, thank you. We know that money might be tight right now, and it means so much that you gave what you can to support this important service. Thanks again.
You can donate right now at WTJX.org.